teen camp last week and watched God take the Word of God and absolutely change lives for all eternity. I'm glad the book I hold in my hand is not just a book. It's the book. And with that thought, I want you to turn to Nehemiah chapter 8 this morning. I'm taking a break from our book studies that we're going through together. God willing, I'll be bringing back up in the evening service the book of Titus. So if you came this morning expecting to hear about the younger generation, as I told you that I was planning on doing, unless the Lord laid something else on my heart, and He's laid something else on my heart, but the good Lord willing, I'll be preaching tonight on the younger generation there in Titus chapter 1. So I encourage you to be back in God's house tonight at 6:30. Nehemiah chapter 8, look at verse number 1 and following. All the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand. Obviously, that's children. And the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood. Now, aren't you glad I'm not going to stand on this pulpit of wood, right? How many of y'all would like to see me stand on top of this pulpit of wood? I'd need a trampoline to get on top of it anyway. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood Mattathiah and Shema and Ananiah and Urijah and Hilkiah and Maaseiah on his right hand. And on his left hand, Padiah and Mishael and Malchiah and Hashem and Hashbadana, Zechariah and Meshulam. Is that how you pronounce them? I don't know. You don't either. We go on, right? Verse 5. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up and bless the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, Amen, Amen, with lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a beautiful passage of Scripture. Look at verse number 5, where the Bible says, And Ezra opened, here's the title of my message, the book. Ezra opened the book. There's only one, the book. There are many books, but there's only one, the book. And the book is the Word of the living God. And today I'm preaching to you on the book of God. Let's pray together. Father, we love you this morning. Speak to our hearts, challenge us now, and help this church to ever be a church that just ties ourselves down to the Word of the living God. Challenge us with your Word today. Make us more like you. And help us to be faithful to you and your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In the previous chapters in this book, as I preached to this book many years ago, but in the opening seven chapters, so to speak, the physical needs of the people were brought out. But in this chapter, in chapter 8, that our attention is turned to, our attention is now turned to the spiritual needs of the people. Now, throughout this chapter, chapter 8, we see Nehemiah is involved, but Ezra is the prominent figure. Now, this is because Ezra was the priest, which means this was his God-given privilege. In other words, Nehemiah did not try to take the place of the priest. And Ezra's the priest at this time. He's reading the Word of God. Now, as you come to this particular chapter, there's this phrase that's used several times that shows what this chapter's all about. It's the phrase, the book. Now, this phrase is used in verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, verse 8, and verse number 18. It is identified in this same chapter as God's law. It's used interchangeably, the book, the law of God, the book, God's law. It's used as God's law in verse 1, 2, 3, 7, 8, 9, 13, 14, and 18. You know, sometimes it's hard to find what's called the key center of a passage. The main idea of a passage. Sometimes it's easy. And in this chapter, it's easy. This chapter is talking about the Word of God. It's the book of God. Thank God for the book this morning. Thank God for the Word of the living God. Now, it's the book that reveals our God and His love to this world. It's the book that shows us the way of salvation. It's the book that guides our way, that comforts our heart, that teaches us and reproves us and corrects us and instructs us. The book is what we need in our homes. The book is what we need in our churches. The book is what we need in our schools. The book is what we need in our nation. And the book is what we need in our world. A certain Christian traveler was packing his suitcase when he said to a friend, and I quote, "There is still a little corner left open in which I desire to pack a guidebook, a lamp, a mirror, a telescope, a book of poems, a number of biographies, a bundle of old letters, a hymn book, a sharp sword, a small library, and all these articles must occupy space about 3 by 2 inches. Somebody said, how are you going to manage that? He said, it's very easy, because the Bible contains all of those things. Patrick Henry said, and I quote, "The Bible is worth more than all other books which has ever been printed." One man said, and I quote, any individual and institution that could take the Bible to every home in this country would do more for the country than all the armies from the beginning of our history to the present time. Robert E. Lee said, "In all my perplexities and distresses, the Bible has never failed to give me light and strength." George Washington, the first president of the United States of America, God give us another one, amen. Here's what he said, "It is impossible to rightly govern the world without God and the Bible." That's the first president of the United States of America. Abraham Lincoln said, and I quote, "I believe the Bible's the best gift God has ever given to man. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through this book." Let me pause here again and say thank God for the book this morning. Praise the Lord for the book, and may we determine to be a people of the book. God has spoken. God has spoken, and He wrote it down in a book. And we can know what God has said. Now, in our text, I want to give you several things about the book. By the way, I pastor a church here that loves the book of God. Amen. You love God's book. I know that. And I'm just challenging you, as the world gets further and further away from the book, let us anchor ourselves strong to the Word of God. Several things about the book this morning, right from this chapter, Nehemiah chapter 8. Number one, we see the respect for the book. We're talking about just these people, just this chapter. We're going to preach on it here. First of all, we see about the book in this chapter is we see respect for the book. This is found in the opening 8 verses. The first thing we notice about it is how these people had great respect for the Word of God. As a matter of fact, I want to give you 3 separate ways walking through these opening 8 verses that show us that they respected the book. May I say this to you? This book is being disrespected around this nation. This book is being disrespected around our world, but in this chapter, they stood and saluted it. They respected it. Let me show you how we know this to be the case. First of all, under this letter A, we see their respect for it, number one, in their desire for it. See, this is found in verse number 1. Notice here where the Bible says, "And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate." Notice this. "And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses." Who instigated the reading of the Word of God here? It wasn't Ezra. It was the people. See, notice how it was the people who sought out Ezra in order for him to bring the book of the law of Moses. In other words, in this we see the people truly had a desire to hear from God's word. The point I'm trying to make here is these people wanted the Bible. They wanted it. They desired it. They wanted it to be brought to them. "Read me the Bible. Ezra, tell us what God has said." You know, in the same way, we should show respect to the book by having a desire to know what it has to say. Let me ask you a question. How much do you really desire the Word of God? There was a little boy looking at a Bible on the table at home, and he asked his daddy, he said, "Daddy, is this book God's book?" His dad said, "Son, of course it is." And the boy said, "Well, Daddy, we should send it back to him because we never use it." You know, children just call it like it is. Don't let this be the scene at your home. Build your life and home on the book of God. Psalm 19, 9 and 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold. Yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." Question. Question. If they had a pile of gold right here, let's just pretend that this is a massive pile of gold. Gold. And the Word of God is right here. Which one do you want more? Would you rather have that or this? Because God's Word says, this book is more to be desired than gold. They respected it because they desired it. They wanted it. Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." So the Word of God says it's more important than gold. But let's say that you're hungry, like some of you are right now, especially since I said that, right? And there is your necessary food. It's necessary. It's necessary. You've got to have it to keep going. Job said this, "I esteem what he says to me as more important than what keeps me alive." Do you desire the book like that? Now I'm convicted, friends. Do we really desire the book more than food? Could you imagine what would happen in our lives, in our homes, in our marriages, in our schools, in our world, if God's children love God's Word more than money and love God's Word more than food? Could you imagine if we went after God's Word the way we do Big Macs? Amen. I mean, could you imagine that we desired the Word of God like we desire to eat? We see they had respect for the book and that they desired the book and their desire for it. One morning in the 1620s, many years ago, obviously, in a little village church, a preacher named John Rogers was preaching on the subject of the Bible like I am this morning in the Christian's life. He allowed himself some pulpit dramatics. First, he acted the part of God like he was God, and he was talking to the congregation, and he was like God's, and he said, "Well, I've trusted you so long with my Bible. You have slighted it. It lies in such and such houses, all covered with dust and cobwebs. You care not to listen to it. Do you use my Bible so? Then you will have my Bible no longer." And he reached down to the pulpit Bible, and he grabbed it and acted like he was God and going to take it away from them. Then he knelt down and impersonated the people, that he was like the crowd responding to God, saying, "Lord, whatever thou do to us, take not thy Bible from us, burn our houses, destroy our goods, but spare us the Bible." And when he did all of this pulpit dramatics, he then acted like he was God again, and he said, "Say you so? Well, I will try you a while longer. Here's my Bible for you. I will see how you will use it, whether you will love it more, observe it more, practice it more, live more according to it." And at this, the whole congregation burst into tears. because the Holy Spirit of God moved in on that service. And it struck a chord, reminding them of their need to pay close attention to the Bible. Because they were reminded that morning that reverence for the Word of God means reverence for the God of the Word. Number one, we see the respect for the book in their desire for it. But number two, we see their respect for the book in their devotion to it. This is found in verses 2-7. I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but you can read it there. In these verses, we see Ezra bringing the book before the congregation. Then we see something very interesting. We see the time frame given in verse number 3. In verse number 3, the Bible says they listened to the Word of God from morning until midday. And their attitude during this time was one of tremendous respect. The Bible tells us in verses 5 and 7 that when the book was opened, the people stood up. And they remained standing from morning till midday, not hearing a sermon, just listening to the Word of God. Get this. In verse number 3, the Bible says the ears of all the people, not some, not most, but all, the ears of all the people were attentive unto the book of the law. You know what this goes to show? They were not daydreaming during the reading of the Bible. Amen. They were not thinking, where am I going to eat? What am I going to do this afternoon? Good night, how am I going to get that done at work? No. When the Word of God was opened, they stood to their feet out of respect. And they listened attentively from morning till midday. Some people get bent out of shape because this church service goes beyond 12. And if it's after 12:15, look out, friends. But these people were so devoted to the Word of God, they remained standing for hour upon hour upon hour upon hour upon hour because they respected what God had to say. We see how the crowd during this time were men, women. And the Bible says those who could understand. I believe that means the children. Can you imagine entire families coming together around the book just to hear it read and explained? Does that sound familiar? Entire families gather to hear the Word of God read and then explained. Does that sound familiar? Is that not what church is all about, friends? Sure it is. Sure it is. In all of this, we see this crowd was truly devoted to the book. They wanted to hear what the book said to them. See, we see, number one, the respect for the book. And we see they had respect in that they desired it. They wanted it brought. But we also see their respect in that they were devoted to it. They wanted to know what it said. And they were willing to wait all day long to listen to the Word of God. You know, are we truly, really devoted to the book today? We need to be reminded how people in communist countries have stood in cramped and packed rooms and auditoriums for hours just to hear the Word of God preached. These people in these verses stood for hours because they were devoted to listening to the book God had given to them. And may we be devoted to this book so much that we'll spend however much time it takes because we just got to hear from God. I've given this story many times, and I'm going to give it again here because it applies. A man in Kansas City many years ago was injured in a severe explosion. There's an evangelist who tells this story. This is many years ago. He tells in his book, The Wonders of the Word of God. This man in Kansas City, when this explosion took place, it badly disfigured his face. His face was disfigured. He lost his eyesight in both of his hands. You can imagine getting up and you're perfectly healthy, but by the end of the day, your face is disfigured. You can't see, and you have no more hands on the end of your arms. One thing that bothered him, one of his greatest disappointments was not that he lost his hands and his eyesight. It was that he loved God's Word. He had just recently trusted Christ. And he loved to read the Bible. But now he couldn't see it. A blind person can use a Braille Bible, you know, with the raised dots, but they use their hands. They can't see it, but they can feel it with their hands. But he has no hands. But he heard about a lady over in England who used a Braille Bible and used her lips to read it. The raised dots, she'd put her lips down on the page and she could feel it and she could read it. So he got a copy of a Braille Bible, what blind folks use, the raised dots, hoping that he could put his lips down to the page and feel it. And he got it, and he put his lips down to it. He can't see it, but he's touching it. But the nerve endings in his lips were so damaged he couldn't feel it. Until one day his tongue slipped and hit the page. And he could feel it with his tongue. He began to learn how to read a Braille Bible with his tongue. And he read the tongue across the pages of Scripture. And the man who wrote this story said that at that time, many years ago, that man had read the entire Bible with his tongue 4 times. Can you see me this morning? Are you devoted to it like that? Number one, respect in their desire for it, in their devotion to it. Number three, in their defining of it. Look at verse number 8. Notice this now in our text. Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly, notice this, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. You know what this tells me? This tells me they respected the book so much that they did not water it down. Now get this. There were those who had the privilege to give the explanation of what was being read from the pages of God's Word. You're looking at one of them. God has called me to give my life to explain the Bible. That's what I do. That's who I am. What a privilege. But notice they did not add to it. They did not take away from it. They simply said what God's Word said. The point I'm trying to make is the ones who explained the law told the people exactly what God was saying. They didn't water it down. They didn't change it in any way. You know, in the same way I can remember being taught in Bible college, Keith Kaiser. He's with Jesus. I remember him teaching us in Bible college. He was like young men, in homiletics class, teaches how to put a sermon together. He'd say, young men, God has already said what he meant. And he meant what he said. And all you've got to do is open the Bible and let God speak. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Just preach the Bible. Because this is the Word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the Word, the Bible says. We're just showing you, number one, by the way, this is my longest point, so just hang on, dear children. Number one, the respect for the book. And we see the respect in that they desired it. They wanted it. They were devoted to it. They stood for hours because they wanted to hear it. And they defined it right. They didn't add. They didn't take anything away. Isaiah 55, 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it, the word of God, shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. All I'm saying to you is the word of God does not need to be tampered with. Imagine that you wrote an extremely important letter to somebody that you dearly love. Just imagine with me. Somebody that you love more than life itself, but you were separated from them. So you decided to communicate with them by letter. And you sat down and you thought about every word that you're going to write, and the spirit in which you give it, and you carefully form your letter with your word. You with me? Let's say this is your letter. You wrote it, and you have every intention for it to get into the hands of those you love. But you give it to somebody to deliver for you. It's a messenger. Let me ask you a question. What would you do if that messenger opened your letter, read it, and decided that you should change a word or two? Amen. What would you do if somebody, your messenger, opened that letter and said, well, that didn't make any sense to me. I think I'll just delete that phrase altogether. I think I'll update the English of it a little bit. That doesn't make any sense to me, so I tell you what, I'm gonna change that word to this word, take that word out, delete that word, change this word. No, let me tell you something. You already thought about what you said. You meant what you said, and you want it to be delivered exactly how you said it. And if anybody tampers with it, they're going to be dealing with you, right? Let me tell you something. God wrote what he meant. And he meant every word he said, and the Holy Spirit of God inspired every single solitary word in the Word of God. This book I hold in my hands, it doesn't contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. And it's been preserved for us in the King James Version Bible. And in this King James Version, we believe we have the unadulterated, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of the living God. Don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't change it. Just preach it like God gave it. This is one way we see they respected the book. They defined it right. They gave it right. They didn't change it to anything. They just preached, thus saith the Lord. Don't change the message, because God has already said what he meant to say. The Word of God says in Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6, listen to this, for his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I'm telling you this morning that the Word of God teaches us. That was Psalms. Excuse me just a moment. In Proverbs chapter 30, verse number 5, the Word of God, talking about don't tamper with the Word of God, it says this: every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Number one, the respect for the book. Number two, the response to the book. We see this in verses 9 through 17 of our text in in Nehemiah chapter 8. In these particular verses 9 to 17, we see how these folks responded to the Bible. There's a twofold response that I see. First of all, they responded in sorrow. Look at verse number 9. The Word of God says in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 9, and Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep. Notice this, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Now, if you read down in verses 10 and 11, you'll notice in verse number 9, you see the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then in verse number 10, they're encouraged not to be sorry, which means they are sorry. That doesn't mean they're sorry people. It means that they're brokenhearted, okay? Finally, in verse 11, they were told not to be grieved. In all of this, we see the first response these dear people had to the book was of genuine sorrow. They were brokenhearted. Can I put it this way? When they heard the Word of God read and explained, they got convicted. You ever been convicted by the Word of God? If you haven't, you've just not read it very long. And you've probably not been coming here very long either. You know, one of the wonders of the Word of God is to comfort. Amen. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. But you know what another great work of the Word of God is? Conviction. It shows us where we're wrong. And when they found out we're doing some things wrong, God told us to do this and we're disobeying, it broke their heart. You know, it is good to see people's hearts broken, sincerely broken before God. This goes to show that the Word of God convicted them. You know, in the same way, the Word of God still convicts us. And we ought to thank God that the Word of God, when we go to it, says you're wrong there. You're wrong there. By the way, when we know it's God's Word, we respect it and say yes. And listen, we'll respond with sorrow because we know God is right and I am wrong. The Word of God says in Psalm 51:17, the sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder in soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. That's one of the things the Word of God does. We see, first of all, that they had a response of sorrow. It's the same thing that King Josiah had. When he heard the Word of God and understood it, he wept. You know, it's time when we hear the Word of God and we're wrong that we have a broken heart before God. There was an influential Christ rejector. He rejected Christ, but he was influential. People knew who he was. He was genuinely saved in a church service. It was a great meeting. This man got saved. The pastor's heart was overjoyed. And the pastor went to ask the new convert. He said, what was it in my sermon? What was it in my sermon that brought you to God? You know what that man said? He said, it wasn't your sermon. It was your text. It wasn't what you said. It's what you read in the Bible. Sorrow. Number two, submission. This is found in verses 12 to 17. In these verses, the main response we see to the book was one of submission. Hey, is it good to get broken before God? Yes. But only if it leads to submission in your life. You can cry crocodile tears and nothing change. They not only cried crocodile tears, they said, we're wrong, show us what's right, we're going to do it. See, here's the point. We see in this, when they understood the words that were declared to them, in verse number 12, they obeyed them. Now get this. Even though they were sorrowful for breaking the law, this did not give them a license to disobey the Lord. See, they were to have the joy of the Lord as their strength. And in verses 14 to 17, you see them finding in the book how they were to dwell in booths in the feast of the seventh month. When they found this in the book, there's no sign of hesitation. They got busy building the booths. Verses 15 and 16, they gathered what was needed for the booths, and they made the booths, and in verse 17, the Bible says they sat under them. Now here's the point. In a nutshell, they were responding to the book by submitting to its commands. By the way, dwelling in booths was to help them remember how they lived in the wilderness and how God cared for them, but they had not been making the booths like God's Word told them to make them. So when they heard in the Word of God, I'm wrong, they got broken, and they found out God says, the seventh month you need to make booths and dwell under them, guess what they did? In the seventh month they made booths and dwelt under them. By the way, guess when this Word of God's being read to them? In the same month the booths were to be made. Isn't that interesting? You know what I've noticed? When I need something from God, I don't have to go searching for it. If I'm reading the Bible every day like I'm supposed to be, God will have me right where I'm supposed to be. And God had them right where they're supposed to be, so they obeyed God. Here it is. Life has been simplified for God's children. It really has. We are to search the Scriptures in every area of our life and do what it says. See, life is not made of all these decisions. That's how the devil wants you to look at life. Look at all, what am I going to do about that? What am I going to do? Who am I going to marry? Where am I going to live? What's going to happen in my life? Look at all these decisions. If the devil can get you looking at life like this, he's got you, friends. Life's not about all these decisions. Life's about one decision that you make in all these areas. You know what that decision is? What is the will of God? And God has a will in everything. I don't care what it is. God has a will in it. And if you'll just obey the word of God, God can give you strength and joy. James 1:22, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only. Luke 11:28, but he said, yea, rather blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Luke 6:46, Jesus said, why call you me Lord and Lord and do not the things which I say? Is there something right now in the book that you're not doing? If it is, if it's witnessing, giving, church attendance, praying, reading the Bible, whatever it is, do it. Do it. And after they submitted to the book in their lives, there was great gladness in their heart. You know what true joy is? Obedience to God. Try it out. Number one, respect for the book. Number two, the response of the book. And in closing, we see the remaining in the book. This is found in verse number 18, the last verse. Also, day by day, from the first day unto the last day, he read in the book of the law of God. From day by day, from the first day to the last day. You know, this goes to show that throughout this special time of the Feast of Tabernacles, the word of God was read every day, day by day, from the first day to the last day. They didn't skip days. Every day, they read the word of God. You know, in the same way, God's children should get into the habit of remaining in the book day by day from the first day to the last day. I'm talking about first day of your life to the last day of your life. I'm talking about your Christian life from the first day to the last day. I mean, day by day from the first to the last, how many days should you read the Bible until the last day? That's how many days you ought to read it. Stay in the Word of God day by day. From the first day to the last. May I say this? If this church congregation who calls this church your church home, if you and I will remain in the Bible and be people of the book, this church is going to be fine. We will be fine. Acts 17:11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Deuteronomy 17:19, and it shall be with thee, with him, talking about the word of God. He shall read therein all the days of his life, and he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. Isaiah 34:16, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now as I come to a close, thank God for the book this morning. Thank God for His Word that He has written, He has preserved for us so we have it in our hand. Hey, listen to me, friends. If this book only contains the Bible, what part's the Word of God and what's not? Honestly, you know what some people try to teach you? That we don't have the Word of God. We only have part of it. That this contains the Bible. This contains God's Word. Okay, then let me ask you a question. If you get convicted by it, is that the part that's not God's Word then? How do you know what's God's Word and what it's not? If this only contains the Word of God. I'm telling you, God is big enough to write it down and God is big enough to preserve it for you and me. This is the Word of God. I mean, we don't take away from it. We don't add to it. We don't subtract anything. We don't change anything. We just read it, give the understanding, get broken when we're wrong, and say, how can I make myself right, God? Live according to the Word of God. Brother Keith Kaiser wrote a song. My voice is a little strained. You'll know that when I sing here in just a moment. Preaching all week down at teen camp. But I love this song he wrote. It goes right along with this message. It goes like this. I've found the book with many authors yet one, inspired all its pages to tell of God's Son. Prophets had promised what the angels proclaimed, the virgin-born Savior, Jesus Christ is His name. I've found the book that tells a sweet story of Jesus, my Savior, resplendent in glory, with great love He has loved me. All my sin He took, I sing of salvation, for I found the book. I'm glad this morning that I'm not looking for it. I've got it. I preach it. I've given my life to it. And when I'm convicted, thank God for it. And say, God, is there a booth that I need to build? Just respect the book. Respond right to the book. And determine you're just going to remain in it from the first day unto the last day. The book this morning. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you and we thank you for the power of the Word of God. Thank you that we have a copy of the Word of God with us. And would you bless, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Appreciate you listening so well. What does the book mean to you? What does the book say to you? Are you picking and choosing? Are you adding and taking away? Are you deleting and changing? Or do you really respect the book so much that you desire it more than gold and food? Do you respect the book so much that you are devoted to spend hours at a time, hour upon hour upon hour, throughout your life, just to hear what it has to say? Are you respecting it so much that you don't want to change anything about it, but you just want to know what it says? How's your responding to it? Has it convicted you in your life? That's part of what it does. It's trying to make you more into the image of Jesus Christ. When's the last time you got broken? When you're reading the Bible. I'm convicted there. Is there a booth that God wants you to make? Or maybe you just need to make a decision today. I'm not going to skip any more days. From the first day to the last day, day by day, I'm going to spend time in the book. That'd be a great decision to make. As they begin to play through softly, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you trusted Christ and Christ alone? Are you born again? By the way, if you're born again, let me tell you how you did. You heard a message from the Bible. We're born again of incorruptible seed, the Bible says, the Word of God. By the Word of God, we're born again. You heard about Jesus because it's in the Bible, in the book. You heard about heaven because you found it in the book. You heard about hell because you found it in the book. You heard about salvation because you found it in the book. Thank God for the book this morning. If you're here today and need Jesus, today's a day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. Is there one say, Jody, pray for me? I need to be saved. I need to be born again. I'm lost, or I'm uncertain of heaven, but I want to be saved. I don't want to play games anymore. I'm serious about this. I want to have peace in my heart that I'm going to heaven. I don't have that, but I want it. I want to be saved. I want to be saved today. And we'll take a man with a man, a lady with a lady. If that's you and you say, pray for me, I need to be saved. Anybody like that, would you raise your hand? You say, pray for me, thank you. You can put your hand right back down, thank you. Anybody else, you say, pray for me, I need to be saved. If you raise your hand to that, you're among friends. We love you. We'll have a lady with a lady, a man with a man, and we'll share how you can be saved. Because God loves you today, He really does. He really does. If you're here today and you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'll give you instruction in just a moment. You say, I'm a Christian. God is speaking to me about my respect for the book. Or God's speaking to you about your response to it, or maybe you're remaining in it. And you say, Jody, pray for me. God's using this. I needed this, and God's using this in my life. Would you raise your hand as a testimony to the Lord? And say, boy, I needed this. Yes, God bless you. Then why don't you come in just a moment? By you coming, it may help lost people to respond. If you're able and can, I'd like to ask you to stand with me. Father, would you bless this now? And would you take this thought and use it? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I am. Brother Daniel's going to be singing. If you need to come and be saved in just a moment, this is your time. We want you to come, invite you. let somebody take a Bible and share with you the gospel. If you're a child of God and God's using this in your heart and life, from the balcony all the way down, would you respond? Talk to God about it. Father, take this and use it, I pray. Challenges from your word. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Daniel's going to begin to sing. Now is your time. I'm coming down. And if you need to come and be saved, whatever it is, I want you to come now. Would you do that? If you raised your hand, you need to come, you come now. As Brother Daniel sings, you come now. Would you please? I'm coming down to meet you.
You have longed for sweet peace and your faith to increase and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid.
This morning, I'm glad for the book this morning.
Sacrifice laid, your heart.
God wants you to use the book.
Control.
Change your life.
You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
Keep singing, keep singing.
You can tell all the love He will send from above and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid?
The book.
Heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
They're playing through. You can look this way. We're dealing with some folks. I want to give them some respect, some time. Second verse of that song that Brother Kaiser wrote, I'm not going to sing it, I'm just going to read it. It says, He walked Calvary's road all the way to the cross. Forsaken by God, He suffered great loss. Then a journey to hell for me He took. I know this is true, for I found the book. Isn't that great? How do you know that your saved loved ones are okay? How do you know you're going to see that mom and dad and brother and sister and child? How do you know it's true? We know it's true because we found the book. And it's God's book. God cannot lie. So let's tie ourselves down to it. Let's anchor ourselves to the Word of God. And if God says it, let's believe it. If God says do it, let's do it. If God says stop it, let's stop it. Let's just be men, women, boys, and girls of the Book of God. We're lifting the Word of God up. What does the Word of God say? I'm about done. I know that you all hear that all the time, but I am about done. God says He's lifted His word above His own name. Did you hear what I just said? He said, I have put my word above my own name. Now, how much does God's name mean? God says, I've elevated my word above my own name. And may we do everything we can to get a copy of the book to everybody who needs one. Amen. What we're going to do is pray. And I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind to quietly, to be dismissed today after we say amen, because we're dealing with one about salvation. That's vitally important. So just out of respect, if you wouldn't mind, if there's singing groups, forget it. You won't be practicing right now. We're leaving because we want to give some time here, okay? Let's pray together. I'm going to ask Preacher Lashley, who spent, 60 years, I guess, preaching the book. I think it'd be appropriate for you to give glory to God for his book this morning as we leave.